Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of America's bloodiest prison, told by the people who lived it, both inside and outside its gates. The brutal history, as you've never heard it before, from its origin as a slave plantation to its gradual growth as the bloodiest maximum security prison in America. To those outside its gates, it's known as Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. But to those who have spent time inside its gates, it's known as Bloody Angola.
Come with us as we take you through the gates and give you a first-hand look at not only the stories of the stabbings, rapes, executions, escapes, and murders you won't find on any TV show or the internet, but also the murders, abductions, attacks, and hostage situations of the staff and their families, otherwise known by the convicts as free people.
Bloody Angola is a comprehensive, no-holds-barred podcast. It takes you on a journey through time, from its inception as a slave plantation to America's largest maximum security prison, where 80% of its population will die inside the wire.
Get mentally prepared. Sit back and listen as we cover these stories in detail.
In ways that you've never heard before, from people that lived it, breathed it, and died with it. Bloody Angola. Warning, Bloody Angola is a podcast covering actual events and is intended for mature audiences.
The subject matter discussed in no way reflects the personal opinions of the host or sponsors of this podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a prison podcast, 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we're going to pick up right where we left off last week with the story of Brent Miller and what became known as the Angola 3, which was actually 4.
Right.
If you're picking this episode up now, you've just discovered Bloody Angola, go back and listen to those. You'll love them. But we're going to pick up where we left off, which is the trial aspect of this heinous crime.
And, y'all, this part is really controversial. It's gone on for, 50 years now? Almost exactly 50 years. So we're going to touch on all the trials and the things that are coming up. And again, this doesn't reflect Jim or I's personal views or the views of our sponsors. But the Brent Miller, career correctional officer, generational correctional officer, brutally murdered, stabbed to death over 30 times. They investigation, however it was, and they indicted four men for the murder of Brent Miller.
That's correct. They indicted Albert Woodfox. Herman Wallace, Albert Woodfox. They also indicted
Chester Jackson.
Yep.
And Montague.
And Montague. And they indicted them all for participating in this murder of Brent Miller, who was a prison guard at Angola and a generational prison guard.
Right. And so this crime, y'all, technically, even though it's occurred, this crime, this murder, and I should never call it a crime, because Brent Miller was a real living human being. This murder occurred inside the gates of Angola, but it falls under the jurisdiction of the West Feliciana Parish Sheriff's Office, and therefore the district attorney and the court system out of West Feliciana, Louisiana. So they were indicted in 1972, and the first two to really go on trial, and y'all skip around a lot because there's a lot that we've researched and there's a lot of personal knowledge we have, but they take them to court, to trial in St. Francisville, Louisiana, which is the closest town to Angola Penitentiary. And there's no doubt, no denying the fact that most everybody in St. Francisville knew everybody in Angola. By this time, they're all going to high school together and everything. Like I told you, my mama taught Brent Miller, knew the family, and still to this day knows generations of people that worked at Angola. And my mama was living in St. Francisville at the time. But they bring them to trial there. And it's tough. The trial happens, and basically the state presents the case that Hezekiah
Brown. First up was Hezekiah Brown, who, if you'll remember from a prior episode, had changed his story. Originally, he said he knew nothing about the murder, and then changed that and said he was fixing coffee when Woodfox, Montague, Wallace, and Chester Jackson came in and began attacking Miller. So that was their star witness, if you will.
Right.
And so,
even though he was known to be a career snitch,
right?
But y'all, it doesn't mean he didn't see it. But and they put him up, and they said, the jury member said afterwards, he was very, very believable. And they knew. The defense put on a part about him being a career snitch, and even one of the wardens said, you pretty much get this dude to say anything you want to. But the jury member said he was believable.
Right. And they took that to the bank, really. It was probably the biggest part of that case from a conviction standpoint was that he was believable. The jury believed every word he said.
Yeah. And the other piece of that puzzle would be Chester Jackson, who was charged before the trial. He changed the story. He said, you know what? I am not innocent. He said, I definitely partook in this murder. But it wasn't just me. And he testified that it was him and Albert Woodfox and Herman Wallace and Montague. And he got a reduced sentence for it. I mean, he got a plea deal, no doubt about it, but he testified. And now think about that. The death penalty wasn't on the table. But for you to come out and say that, getting a reduced sentence. I mean, shit, he was doing a long time anyway. I forgot how many years it was. But for him to come out and say, you know what, I was there.
Right.
So it's tough. But there were problems with the trial, no doubt. I make no bones about the fact. And if I get this trial confused with another one, then I apologize. But during the trial, right before it starts, when Woodfox and Wallace are in the courtroom, one of them says to the judge, hey, I don't want to be represented by these lawyers. These guys, we just spoke to them, and now we're going to trial, right? And I don't want to do it. And the judge basically told him to be quiet. And another one said, same thing. I don't want to be represented by these people. And the judge said, I told you to be quiet. The other one stood back up and said, you know, kept going on. And the judge said, you say one more word, and I got something for you. And he said, well, I'm saying the word right now, so bring it on. Judge had the sheriff's deputies come in, duct tape their mouths shut, and handcuff them behind their backs. And they were in prison uniforms.
Yeah, and there's a lot to that we're going to unpack real quick. So first of all, people don't show up in prison uniforms anymore for trials like that. And the reason is you have a preconceived notion of their guilt. They used to have, you remember the striped uniforms, white and black stripes or whatever for inmates. Well, you won't see that in a courtroom now when they're standing trial. And the reason for that is a jury sees that and there's a preconceived notion of guilt.
Right.
So that's one thing. Now imagine being a jury and you walk in and the people up for conviction of whatever crime have their mouths duct taped and they're handcuffed. Accused. Thank you.
And they're in prison uniforms.
I mean, what are you going to think?
Duct tape, mouth, handcuffed behind your back, sitting there, and then you listen to these witnesses testify against them. Yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, anybody would be biased. I do not agree with that. I mean,
that's
not to mention the fact it was an all white jury in St. Francisville who all knew Brent Miller.
Right.
And I may have this
small town, a smaller town for those.
And I may have this one confused with a following trial, but however it happened, listen to this. Ann Butler, whose husband had been the investigating warden. Herman Wallace, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, Herman Wallace, ex-husband. And they had written a book together about how Woodfox and Wallace were guilty of the murder of Brent. And she's on the jury. And she went to the DA and was like, and I think it probably was one of the later trials, but it doesn't matter. She went to the DA and was like, hey, I know you're going to let me off. Small town. She knew him, right? Mm-hmm. And DA was like, you're on the jury. And she was able to show a copy of the book to the people that were impaneled on the jury.
Right. And these are things that we're listing that would
never have.
It's the first time I've ever heard of that. Right. It's the first time I've ever heard of someone being duct taped, handcuffed, and all of that in a courtroom for a trial. I don't know who defended them, what public defender, but you would think he would have thrown a fit. And
well, the
Brock Law Firm would have thrown a fit.
Brock Law Firm.
Mistrial.
You better believe that, Jasper. Yeah, definitely. So the deal being, y'all, naturally, they were found guilty. Okay. And that was in January of 1974. And of course, they were sentenced to Angola. All right, and
which they were already serving time, obviously, but they had 50 years. They were both in there for robbery.
Right.
So they were each sentenced. I think their sentences were both 50 years, right, which at that time they had kind of one for one. So, you know, good time and stuff like that. You probably served 25. So that was prior to this incident.
So they get shipped back, right? And I mean, this is kind of skipping ahead, but we'll get to it too. But they lock them up in solitary confinement. I'm going to talk about that for a second. Solitary confinement, y'all. Back then, especially, they might have let them out once a week for an hour to shower or something like that. I mean, there's studies. Solitary confinement is a one-man cell, no nothing, a bunk, a toilet. That's it. And at the time, they were even feeding them. They were sliding their food trays underneath the door. They didn't have the slots in the door for the food trays. And the studies show people can go crazy, mentally lose their mind in as short as 15 days. Both Woodfox and Herman Wallace served more than 40 years. And
that's unreal.
40 years in solitary confinement. And we're going to we'll get to all that, but just keep that in mind. Yeah. So solitary confinement, you have no interaction. They could talk cell to cell, like they would make homemade chess boards out of toilet paper and have the chess pieces and call out, and I'm moving whatever R1 to whatever, you know, and they would call back, and they would pass time like that. But they can't even see each other, right?
And
it's not like the cells are across from each other, like you see in the movies. It's a long row of cells, and they're facing these windows that they can't even see out of.
There is no cross ventilation.
Oh, there's no shit back then. There was no heat.
No air.
No air during the summer. And look, I used to work on this box when there was no air, and at least they had fans. Can you imagine the stink and everything else? But they were known for being convicted for killing a guard. How do you think the correctional officers treated them?
Right. Yeah. And good, bad, or indifferent. We're not saying one way or the other, but it is what happened. And in solitary confinement, you can go nuts after 13 days.
Yeah, it's a short time.
So multiply that 40, you know, by 40 years. I mean, wow. There's another guy, Woody, involved in this, and that is Mr. King. Robert King. And this story gets a little bit crazier now.
This is crazy.
So Robert King was a Black Panther in addition to the two convicted, Wood Fox and Wallace.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Get the right car at Reichert.
It's the Reichert Black Friday Savings Event. Get a $500 gas card with the purchase of any new vehicle, only at ReichertKia.com.
Get the right car at Reichert.
We're dealing.
Now, it's important to note, he was not at Angola when this murder took place of Brent Miller.
He had been at Angola before, but he had never even met Brent Miller. He had been at Angola, I believe, before Brent Miller started his career and got released. And he got out. But go ahead.
He got out, and then, basically shortly after Brent Miller was killed, he had been sentenced again to Angola, committed another crime. He wasn't a Boy Scout, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was less than 6 months he gets shipped there.
Yeah, so Robert King ended up going back to Angola.
Now, when you get to Angola, where you're housed depends upon how you act inside, okay? It's not the crime that you committed outside. There's chomos and multiple serial killers, whatever, living in dormitories, not in cell blocks. Robert King comes 6 months after, and they automatically lock him up in solitary confinement. Okay. Now, when he's locked up, but the reason was, and this is documented, the reason was, and they put it on there, for you are under investigation for the murder of Brent Miller. Shit, he wasn't even there.
Was not even there.
But when he's on that cell block, at some point, somehow, magically, all the doors get opened at one time, and all of them, the convicts get out on the tier, and there is a murder. And Robert King got charged as being a part of this murder, even though the guy that murdered the guy, there was two guys fighting that were nice, and the guy admitted. He said, yes, and this guy had blood all over him. The guards came in, and he said, yeah, he said, I killed him, but it was self-defense. They charged Robert King with the murder, and he got convicted. And even though this other guy said, hey, I did it, he didn't have any part to do with it. But then
making this up, folks.
That's right. Then after his conviction, they shipped him back, and lock him in solitary confinement. But later on, that conviction was overturned on appeal, and he was released in 2001 after taking a plea deal. The plea deal being, y'all, they told him when he went to court, the DA said, hey, you know, he comes in and pleads guilty to accessory after the fact, which if that's the case, then anybody on that tier could have been charged with accessory after the fact because they all had knowledge of what happened, right? But right when he went to go in the courtroom, his attorney went and talked to the DA. DA's like, fuck that. I'm changing the deal. He needs to plead to the murder, and it will give him credit for time, sir. But, yeah, we're talking like 29 years later. And he came back out, and King wasn't going to take it. King is like, fuck it. I'm not going to do it. And his lawyer's like, you get to walk today.
Yeah.
If you take it. Otherwise, you're going back
your pride.
To solitary confinement. And he did it. And ultimately, he took the deal, although he maintains his innocence. And that's it. I mean, it's just a crazy sad story.
Insane. And you know, important to note, I think it was something like 24 years or something he was in solitary. Every time, so when you're
29 years.
29 years. And every time when you're in a solitary confinement atmosphere, every 3 months you have to come up for review.
Right. Every 90 days.
Every 90 days. So every 90 days, King would go up to a review board and they would review whether he's ready to be out of solitary confinement or if they wanted to keep him there, whatever. For 29 years, he went up every 3 months and they denied it. And they look over these case files.
On every single denial, these are documented, y'all. On every single denial, it said, because you are under the investigation for the murder of Brent Miller.
Yes. So. Yes. And his only affiliation really with that entire thing was the fact that he was a Black Panther.
Absolutely. On appeal, Woodfox's 1974 conviction for murder of Brent was overturned in 1993 on the constitutional grounds of inadequate counsel at the first trial.
No surprise.
Right. like you said, I don't know who they were. I probably actually.
I can tell you who it was. Jasper Brock.
Jasper Brock. It's overturned, but the state turns around immediately and reindicts Woodfox again that year, and the result of a grand jury that was headed by a white foreman that was appointed by the court. So anyway, in 1998, Woodfox was convicted a second time for the murder of Brent Miller. But his defense amounted to another appeal, right? They appealed it again. You want to go to King?
Yeah. So as we told you, King was released following 29 years of solitary confinement in 2001. Now, his conviction was overturned appeal, and he pleaded guilty, as Woody said, to a lesser charge, so that he could basically get out. It was basically right. Like they said, look, if you plead to this, you can get out today. And he fought that at first, but his lawyer said, just plead, man, and you can walk today. And eventually that's what he did.
Yeah. But you know, one thing he did say when he got out, he said, I'm free of Angola, but Angola will never be free of me.
Yeah.
And he went on to advocate for prisoners and stuff.
That's right. And another interesting thing to note about King was when they told him, raise his right hand, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, he intentionally raised his left hand. And the reason he said he did that, and this is his own words, is I was not going to conform and comply right. to them. And he said, it probably would have been a bad idea if anyone would have noticed, but I think the judge might have noticed, but nobody else did. Right. So that was his way of saying, I'm going to go ahead and plead to your charge that I don't agree with, right. but I'm going to do it with my left hand. Right. Just, you know, basically have something.
Right, a little bucket up and have pride. So.
Right.
All right, so in 2000, the Angola 3 filed a civil lawsuit against the Louisiana Department of Corrections saying that the inhumane and increasingly pervasive practice of long-term solitary confinement, and they sought damages against the state and Department of Corrections because of the adverse effects of being locked down in solitary confinement for so long.
40-plus years.
Guess what? As of, like, 2019, that case was still pending. Talking about lawyers tying some shit up, right?
But
while
the
men's civil suit and appeals of their cases were pending, in March of 2008, Wood, Fox, and Wallace were moved to a maximum security dormitory at Angola. They had each been held for 36 years in solitary confinement.
So State Representative Cedric Richmond, which is a New Orleans representative, was granted permission to visit them, and authorities rarely granted that.
He's now a congressman.
Yeah, now a congressman. He told a reporter he believed they had been moved from solitary based primarily off of political pressure that they were getting about the case. And when I say that, I mean Angola getting political pressure, as well as they also had a civil suit out there. And yeah. So, you know, Angola was like, wow, they're suing us in civil court. Probably a lawyer took a look at that case and said, yeah, you need to go ahead and move them. Right. And that's what they did.
Crazy. Wood, Fox had two appeal hearings in federal district court, one in November of 2008 and one in May of 2010, both which resulted in his second conviction being overturned and his being granted a full habeas corpus. The rulings by the federal district courts were overturned by the Fifth District Circuit Court of Appeals. All right, y'all, let me tell you this. I know that for a fact. In 2008, Judge James Brady, I have a little personal history with him. His son and I were college roommates, Sean Brady. I think Sean's now a head track coach at Texas A&M. But Judge Brady also graduated in the same law school class as my mama and my daddy. They're friends, right? So I actually picked him up from the airport in New Orleans one day when Sean was busy. He's a good dude, but he's a hardballer. But he overturned the conviction, and the state said, and he said, hey, let him out, or let him out on bond. Let him out on bond or set him free, period. The state said, fuck you.
Yeah.
To the federal judge. Said, we're not doing it.
Wow. So, so many things about that. Now, let's go to 2009, and Wallace – Wallace in particular was moved from Angola with a group of about 15 inmates, and they're moved to Alain Hunt Correctional Center, which if you're not from Louisiana, you may not realize Alain Hunt is more of a, almost like a paperwork point.
Yeah.
It's short term stays.
Yeah, everybody that gets sentenced to the Department of Correction goes to Hunt's first, where they get classified to what prison they're going to. There are some that stay there long term, but then the most of them don't.
So he goes there, and they actually had created a newly constructed closed cell isolation tier. Right. So pretty much,
put him right back solitary. In the box. Right back in the box.
Yeah. In the state now, they argue that that's not solitary confinement.
Yeah. Well, so back to it, when the federal judge, James Brady in 2008, I'm not sure who it was in 2010, they said, hey, let him go, da-da-da-da. And in 2010 is when the lawyers, you know, went to the prison with the paperwork, and they were like, fuck you, we're not doing it. And they went back to the federal judge, and the federal judge said, I'm staying in my office, and issued another warning. He said, if you don't do it, then I'm going to fine you, y'all all in contempt and with possible jail time.
So both Wallace and Wood Fox served way past their original sentences, if you remember me saying. They were at around 50 years before good time for armed robbery. So both of them also had some pretty serious a range of medical issues, and some of them allegedly were from their confinement and solitary confinement in a forced, you know, a sedentary lifestyle. You're exercising basically in your cell for 40 years.
Force up this way, force up that way, turn around, do it again.
That's it. I mean, wrap your brain around that. So prison officials, they pretty much maintained the reason for keeping him in solitary confinement was they were worried about a uprising of the Black Panthers if they were to get out and get into general population.
That's right. And this is after they moved them to these two different prisons from Angola in response to the federal court saying you need to let them go, to which Buddy Caldwell, who was the attorney general, said, fuck you, I'm not doing it. But they did ship them and they separated them. And now they're having all these health problems.
Having all these health problems. And of course, some, you know, at some point somebody said, well, why were they in solitary confinement for this long? And they said, well, they, you know, one thing you got to keep in mind is these guys at this point, prisoners knew about their case. This was national, international news. They were famous. So they had a lot of power. And, you know, the prison officials, their kind of excuse there was, look, if they get out of solitary confinement, they can, they're like gods.
I heard this, and I can't confirm it, but I heard that, I don't remember which one, they were bringing them through. They were moving somewhere to, I don't know if they take him to an infirmary or something. They were moving through a room of inmates, and they said when he walked in, he was being guarded by the guards. He's being guided through. The inmates in the room came to a hush, and then they started applauding and cheering for him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like these guys were fucking badass.
Right.
They are the heroes of every convict.
That's right. So from a prison, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, from a prison standpoint, they knew in their mind that, hey, man, these guys get to communicating with other inmates. That can be a problem. So that was their excuse anyway. Now, in July of 2013, Wallace got diagnosed with advanced liver cancer.
You know, his lawyers had gone and seen him, and they're like, holy shit, and he's lost a ton of weight. And then they got his medical records, and they got him shipped to New Orleans to be examined. And they said he had like a beignet-sized tumor on his liver. And he'd never been scanned for it where he was housed in solitary confinement.
Right. And so obviously he's, you know, he got diagnosed with that. Originally they thought it was a stomach condition. It wasn't. And he got diagnosed with advanced liver cancer. And so his defense team, they filed what's called a writ of habeas corpus. And they basically said that he had not received a fair trial and was thus illegally being held by the state. And in an October 2013, federal judge Brian Jackson ruled that Wallace had not received a fair trial because no women were included on the jury. Judge Jackson vacated the original grand jury indictment and ordered Wallace's immediate release. The original indictment, stating the original indictment was unconstitutional. The state announced its intention to reindict Wallace for Miller's murder, but on October 4th, he died a few days after being released from jail. So he finally...
When he got released from jail, y'all, he's taken out in an ambulance. And I mean,
yeah, he was his last legs.
Yeah. And then there was a white couple in New Orleans that had a house like maybe a block or two blocks from where he grew up. And they took him in. The doctor said, put him in a hospice place, right? And they were like, no, he's been locked up in institutions long enough. We'll show him the love. And they played the music and did all this stuff, whatever. Hey, Wallace got a much better death than Brent Miller did.
Yeah, so that 100%. And, you know, important to note also that by this time, 2013, these guys were not only well-known by the inmates, they were well-known by everybody.
Worldwide media.
And
now the internet is coming into play and everything else.
That's right. So they had attorneys left and right.
Throwing themselves out.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a case you can become world famous for if you get them out of jail, right? So they had the best of the best as far as legal defense at that point.
So in March of 2013, a federal district judge in New Orleans overturned Woodfox's second conviction from 1998 for the prison murder, ruling that It was based on racially discriminatory grounds because a white foreman had been appointed to the grand jury, and that this was part of the pattern of discriminatory practice found in the state. Yeah, that's when the one I was telling you about earlier, actually. But Louisiana Attorney General Buddy Caldwell promised to appeal the district court's decision, saying, "We feel confident we will again prevail at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. However, if we do not, we are fully prepared and willing to retry this murder again." And on November the 20th, 2014, a three-person panel of the Fifth Circuit judges unanimously upheld the lower court's opinion that Wood Fox's conviction had been secured through racially discriminatory means. The panel found that the selection of a white grand jury foreperson in the 1993 indictment hearing prior to the trial formed part of the discriminatory pattern in the area, in that area of Louisiana, being St. Francisville, y'all, and concluding that this action amounted to a violation of the U.S. Constitution, and the judges struck down Woodcock Fox's conviction.
So the state of Louisiana at that point basically said, "Fuck you, we're not releasing him," and basically said, "We need time." Well, wait a minute. State of Louisiana refused to release Wood Fox pending their decision as to whether to pursue a new trial against him. So basically they said, well, we're still thinking about if we want to pursue a new trial, so we're not going to release him just yet. They were worried if they release him, they may never capture him again if they decided to pursue a new trial. The prison also refused to move him out of solitary confinement. On February 12th of 2015, the state then indicted Wood Fox again for the third time. The third time for the 1972 murder of Brent Miller, the prison guard. Now, Woody, I want to ask you this from your investigation standpoint, and you know your life of police work. Why did the double jeopardy stuff, why didn't it?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Whether it's Kroger Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Kroger has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Because he was not found innocent, they overturned it on the appeals base, saying off race, makeup of the jury, whatever it may be. If he had ever been found not guilty, then they could have never tried him again. Gotcha. As long as it's reversed on other means, then it's like, okay, we can fix that shit. Let's retry him.
Gotcha.
Buddy Kyle was like, fuck you, we'll retry him. This is what I was alluding to earlier. On June 8, 2015, U.S. District Judge James Rady ordered the release of Wood Fox after having overturned his second conviction for the killing of Brent Miller. Judge Rady order barred a third trial from taking place, as he noted that most of the witnesses had died, and he believed that it was unlikely that Wood Fox could gain a fair trial. He also noted evidence suggesting Mr. Wood Fox's innocence. Now, I get this to a point, Judge Rady, thinking most of your witnesses have died, like Chester's dead, Ezekiel or whatever his name is dead. The guy that was making the coffee.
Yeah.
Herman, whatever his name is.
Right.
He's dead. So what you have then are their courtroom statements. Well, you get those. they can't be impeached.
Right.
You know what I mean, a defense attorney can't get up and tear them in, you asshole. And yeah. So, well, you saw this happen, but, you know, what kind of clothes were they wearing or whatever, right?
100%. And so it's also important to note that nobody was saying he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Essentially, what that judge was saying was most of your witnesses are dead now, and there was a lot of problems. And that's why it's so important. And if you listen to, I'm going to plug Real Life Real Crime here, but that's why it's so important. And when you listen to Woody on Real Life Real Crime, he always talks about evidence protection and you know, when there's a murder, roping off the scene and not letting anybody in.
Right.
One little technicality, and they had a lot of technicalities here, and glaring.
Especially when you're 40 years later.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. One little technicality can absolutely have a guilty person be turned free.
Right. 40 years later, I mean, they've been playing armchair quarterback for 40 years. You got 40 years to try to find any little crack in the case that the powers that be back in the day might have messed up on.
That's right.
So 4 days later, the majority of a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed Judge Brady's decision. It directed the state could hold Wood Fox in prison until the matter was resolved, and it could mount a third trial. The dissenting judge, James L. Dennis, agreed with Judge Brady that the state had failed to remedy the problem of racial discrimination. And Judge Dennis noted that more than a dozen witnesses, including the state's only purported eyewitness to the murder and 2 alibi witnesses for Mr. Wood Fox, were no longer breathing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the state announced it would try Wood Fox for a third time, but they offered him a plea deal after negotiation with his defense. And he's got a high-powered defense team, I'm sure, point.
A bunch of them.
Yes. And so Wood Fox pleaded no contest to the lesser charge of manslaughter and aggravated burglary. Together with his time for armed robbery, he had already served 45 years, the total of the sentences for those crimes. So he got credit for time served.
Right.
And when they added all that up, he could be released, and he was released based off of the prisoner's original trials in 72. Anita Roddick, you take that part.
So, and he was released based on the time served, like Jim said. Now, y'all, let me tell you, nolo contende is, that's not saying that you're guilty or that you're innocent. All that does is stops you from being sued in a civil suit. It's a guilty plea. But he was released with time served on February the 19th of 2016, which was his 69th birthday. And Wood Fox civil suit filed in 2000 with the plaintiffs King and Wallace is still pending against the Department of Corrections over the practice of extended solitary confinement. Basically, we recover the appeals and the trials and retrials and ultimately the releases. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like Buddy Caldwell said, the attorney general, they were tried and convicted numerous times. And, yes, some of the shit shouldn't have happened, no doubt about it. But it doesn't change the base facts of what the witnesses said. And it doesn't change the base facts that Brent Miller was brutally murdered. The lack of evidence, whatever, it is what it is. I've seen convictions with less. I've seen non-convictions with more. But ultimately, end of the day, they were the longest running inmates in solitary confinement ever. And I think that brought about some change. But you got to remember Brent's family and loved ones.
Yeah. And you know, that the family has continued to oppose Wood Fox's release. They believed he was guilty. And, you know, his father, as we stated, had worked in the prison. His brother was a prison guard. Another brother earlier served as a prison guard. And they stayed the course for the most part, never wavering.
even though the people are saying everything about the witnesses or the lack of physical evidence, they never gave up. And there was another assistant warden who was quoted as saying, you know what, I'll go to my grave. I've got over 40 years of dealing with inmates, and I'll go to my grave saying these fellas did it. You'll never change my mind about that. So whatever you believe is what you believe. But Brent Miller's widow, Teenie, now Verrett, remarried, actually came to doubt Wallace and Woodfox's guilt. And she said, if they did not do this, and I believe that they didn't, then they have been living a nightmare.
Yeah. That's accurate. If they didn't do it, they've been living a nightmare. I will say this just from my perspective. I think there's no way only one person participated in this, as some have insinuated. Let me tell you, if only one person participated, it would have been easy to catch that person. They would have marks on them. It would have been easy. Somebody held him down.
The blood scene would have been throughout.
Yes.
Brent would have been able to fight back.
Yes.
You know,
if somebody was
confined to that bunk, that place, because of it, fucking, they were holding him down.
Several people holding him down, in my opinion. So that's, I wasn't there. I don't know who it was.
I wasn't either.
But I can tell you, I don't buy it. There was a former inmate, and his name was Irvin Lifebro.
Yes.
And as we discussed in an earlier episode, Billy Wayne Sinclair was a prison reporter. He was a prisoner that was actually an award-winning journalist. Good journalist. He was just a prisoner. And Irving Bro asserted that he killed Miller to Sinclair. Basically, he said that he stabbed Miller and called Miller a casualty of war who walked in as inmates were hiding knives they planned to use to kill Uncle Tom's, which were black prisoners, and that kind of conformed to the white people.
Right.
And Life also stated that the free people, the guards, knew what he had done. Irving Lifebro was later killed in Angola after trying to stop a prison rape. This came from Billy Wayne Sinclair. He said this in 1982. I don't buy it, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, you better believe if the correctional officers knew that this dude killed Brent Miller, they wouldn't have gone through all this other shit. I don't care about the Black Panther stuff. I don't care about whatever. You telling me that this cat killed Brent Miller by himself because Brent walks in when they're hiding weapons, then it's bullshit. But you know what? That's part of the story, y'all. Maybe that's why Teenie believes now. The problem is with the whole thing, Jim, for me, is after 50 years now, 50 years to this year, when you can go back and pick apart every little piece of something, you got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find the cracks and the holes and all that. And look, some of it is legit. I get it. And it's all documented, but you can't, in any investigation, you can't get tired of believing the facts just because you're tired of disbelieving the person, the accused, right? The person that you're after.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's happened to me before in cases. But I stood. I'm like, fuck, you know, he did it. My partner was like, no, I don't think he did it. I'm like, we've been interrogating him for 12 hours, but the facts show otherwise. And guess what? He did do it.
Yeah.
And we don't know, but I can tell you this. Multiple times, these men were convicted for the murder of Brent Miller. And our U.S. court system is not the best in the world. but it's certainly no, it's
not perfect, but it's perfect, the best,
but it's
the
best
world.
In the world. And it, so our court system is not perfect, but it's the best in the world. And the certainly the early trials and duct tape mouse and shit like that shouldn't happen, but it doesn't change the facts of the case. And that's why when you asked me the question about double jeopardy, that's why they were never acquitted. They were never acquitted. And in fact, they all took a plea in the end to doing it. So whether that's because you're in the hole for 40 years, I don't know. But you still took a plea.
Yeah.
So regardless of who did it, Brent Miller's story needs to be told. And I'm telling you, and I got the guy myself, I've heard this story since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
Because my family's personal connection. And, you know, I trained on that firing range. It's Brent Miller. It doesn't say just firing range. I think it says pistol and rifle range. I qualified there. That was actually my first time out of the military to qualify anywhere.
Wow.
But I knew the story. I knew who Brent Miller was because my mom had always told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, my mom was on the parole board and stuff years before that, before I was there qualifying. So I always had the interest in it, you know, in the story. And I really, really, and you and I talked about this in depth. And how many times have we talked to my mom on the phone?
Yeah, six, seven times just about this case in the last few days.
And she feels just like she felt back then. And I told her, I said, we just want to put the human face on Brent Miller. And the like all these documentaries, I think three out of the four we watched didn't even mention Brent Miller by name.
Yeah.
They said, you know, the political prisoners, two of them might have said, even mentioned murder. One of them actually showed pictures of Brent and everything like that. But
yeah, it got so sensationalized that the victim got
totally forgotten
in this case. And so that's what we hope more than anything else that we did with this little series here is shine a light on that victim.
Right.
Because no matter what all of this was, Brent Miller ain't coming back.
That's right.
And
Brent Miller never got a chance to have an appeal.
That's right.
And whether these guys did or didn't do it, that's our justice system. And it's how it works. And Brent Miller died saying,
why are you doing this to me?
Rest in peace, Brent Miller. You're not forgotten, brother.
Thank you very much. Again, I know that was hard to hear. We appreciate you bearing with us on that series. It had to be told that way.
Yeah. And especially this last part, when you get in all the courtroom stuff and all that, and that's not for everybody. That is such an important part of the story.
Huge, huge. So we thank y'all for
so much
everything you do for us by listening to this podcast, sharing it. Can't tell you how much me and Woody just love you folks for doing that. We're going to continue to do our very best to bring you the best content we can. And trust me, it just goes on from here.
Yeah.
And every week we're going to try to give you more and more of Angola and the bloody stories from really the world's most notorious prison.
Yeah. And the bloody stories, the inside stories,
yeah,
the air, everything.
Yeah. How it tastes
yeah.
behind the wire.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And I just, this criminal mind just fascinates me, but you go inside the gates like that, it'll really blow your mind.
It really will. And, so thank you very much. Please check out the website, bloodyangolapodcast.com. You can get all of these episodes, including the video episodes there. You can also get them on your favorite podcast platform in audio, and you can get them on YouTube and video as well. That's more of an experience. We'll have pictures of subjects that we're talking about, and you get to see me and Woody interact and go into our little zones that we like to go into. So check that out. I want to thank our sponsors.
Absolutely.
Look, Couldn't do any of this without those folks.
Absolutely. Thank y'all so much. We back you 100%, and thank y'all for backing us. And I want to say this. I want to go ahead and thank our Chase team members. And Chase team members, y'all, are subscribers to Bloody and Gold. And for subscribing for $10 a month, they get early, at least a day early, commercial-free releases of Bloody Angola. And y'all, we're doing this in response to so many of our fans that are like, love the podcast, don't want to listen to the commercials, can we subscribe? And so if you don't want to listen to the commercials, we get that. Chase team members, thank you. We're hoping you're enjoying your early commercial-free releases. And we will be bringing y'all at least one bonus episode a month that we'll have locked up for Chase team members of stories from inside the wire.
Never to be released to the outside public. That's it right. Was to be only for the Chase team members. And we appreciate, love each and every one. If you need information on that, we'll get that to you. And we'll link that, Patreon to the podcast episodes as well in the descriptions. That way you can go right to it, get all the information you need. But
yeah, absolutely,
we, you know, it's also in response to those that say they can't wait.
Yeah, that's, right.
You know, we love it, and so we want to give you an option to get something a little earlier,
right,
than maybe the general public, and give you a little extra, an episode that will never be released outside of that atmosphere, that Patreon.
You get 12 of those a year, so thank you, and we really appreciate y'all's support. Hey, if you can't be a Chase team member, we get it. We love you just as much. Thank you for liking and sharing, subscribing, and leaving us reviews.
I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
A Bloody
Angola.
A podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
Monday, hold hands, in your hands.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.